We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Amen.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. Amen. A few years ago, a friend and I traveled to the Grand Canyon. It's one of the most incredibly awesome of God's creations. We traveled to the South Rim, and then we went over to the North Rim. And for me, it was like going back in time, because as a child, my parents took me to the Grand Canyon. We stayed in log cabins, and guess what? They're still there. Not much has changed in that log cabin, perhaps the toilet paper and the towels. Same bed, same desk, probably the same mattress. But it didn't matter. We were at the Grand Canyon, and it is so awesome, so beautiful that you don't care about the place where you sleep at night. Everywhere we looked, we were going, oh, wow, it's so beautiful. As we went to dinner on Saturday night in the old lodge, we saw a sign that said, come to worship, 10 o'clock, community room. Well, of course, that's what we did on Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock, we went to the community room, and guess what? The wooden chairs, same ones that were there a few years ago. It was amazing that they held us up, and over Melissa, against the wall, was the piano. I am sure that that piano was missing keys and hadn't been tuned for 70 years, was the piano in Miss Kitty's saloon on Gunsmoke. And as we walked in, the visiting clergy person said, does anyone play the piano? And of course, I put my hand up. And he said, would you pick a few hymns for us to sing before I preach and then pick a hymn for the closing? So we sang some hymns, he read the word, and he preached the word. And then he said, Barbara, what are we going to close with? And I said, well, there's only one hymn that we can close this morning. Let's go stand at the windows. And the windows were fully opened to the rim of the Grand Canyon. And I pitched some kind of crazy note like this. We sang it well ago. Oh, Lord, my God. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. So I wonder, my friends, when was the last time you and God had a praise session together? Like Leah out there in the rain. Or me standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Because, my friends, we live in a beautiful world, and it is almost summer, and the roses are blooming, and the magnolia tree has gorgeous blooms, and the birds are singing. Have you looked into the face of a tiny child? because God's creation is all around us. Psalm 67, which we heard Eric read to us a while ago and we sang a response, is a psalm of thanksgiving. This is one of a quartet of psalms labeled songs, dedicated to none other than the music director. And Psalm 67 calls for a stringed orchestra to accompany the song. These psalms frequently talk about the earth and all that God has created, because what is verse 1 in chapter 1 of this book? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created, and God has blessed this whole earth with its blue rivers and its seas and its amber waves of grain and purple mountain majesties. And the verse says, all the peoples of the earth shall praise God's mighty acts among them. So what does it take for us to wake up every morning and put our feet on the ground and start singing? Do you pick up your phone and figure out what you've got to do next today and what's on the agenda, and you forget that you are in the presence of God's mighty creation? We read that in the story that Sandra read to us of Jacob. And in that story, I think we see a lot about ourselves. You see, Jacob was a young man running away from home. His family had imploded. It was a messed up family. His father was dying. His brother was going to inherit everything. And he and his mom colluded to cheat his brother out of the inheritance. And Esau was so enraged when he heard about it, he could have snapped, squashed Jacob like a bug. So, man, Jacob peeled out of there, only the clothes on his back. And he walked, and he walked, and he walked until the sun began to set, and he realized suddenly how tired he was. And he looked around for a pillow, and he found a rock, it says. And he lay down, and bam, sleep. Sound asleep, and he had a dream, and wherever dreams come from, I don't know, maybe it came from the rock or fell out of the sky, but man, was it an incredible dream. He saw a ladder with its feet into the earth, and it was reaching into the heavens, and there were angels descending and ascending like bright winged butterflies. And then you know what happened next? God. God was standing right next to Jacob, and God promised him land, and God promised him his children would become spread over the whole earth, and he promised him safety. And then God said, remember, Jacob, I am with you. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. And Jacob woke up. And he saw nothing but the same old desert and the same old rocks and the same old sand. But then he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And he didn't even know it. And he was so excited. He said, this is none other than the house of God. And I got to find some way to mark this place. And he looked and he looked and he looked for something to put for an altar. And he, oh, duh, here's my pillow. And he dug a hole and he put his pillow in there and made it sturdy. And then he poured oil over that pillow. And then he said, this is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he named it Beth El. Beth is house, El God, the house of God. So you see, reading that story puts worship into perspective. The whole world, the cosmos, the universes, as many as there are, is the house of God. Who persuaded me that you needed four walls and a roof to have a place to worship God? The children of Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, guided by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What if those woods that we have over here to the west were just as precious to God as this beautiful sanctuary? What if God enjoyed you as much when you were digging in the dirt and getting all muddy, like Leah said, as he does when you're cleaned up and prim and proper sitting in a pew. You see, God can drop a ladder almost anywhere with no regard to religious standards developed by those who've made it their business to decide where God is. I could not possibly say where God is. All I know is that as a child sitting in my willow tree, God and I had the longest conversations, longer than any that ever happened to me in Sunday school. I can tell you that lying in the grass in the summer, trying to figure out if all those ants were talking to each other, was just as incredible as any Bible story I'd ever read. I can tell you that lying in the grass at night with my granddaddy naming the stars for me, God was in all of those places and all of those times. So I want to remind you when you wake up any morning, whether your head is on a pillow from Walmart or on a rock, God is there in all of these places. And we should stand up every morning and say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. Fortunately, the Holy Scriptures remind us the people of God are not the only creatures who worship. There's a psalm that talks about the trees that clap their hands. What an image of trees clapping their hands. The meadows and the valleys shall shout and sing together. The morning and evening shall resound with joy. And in the scriptures, people encounter God under shady oaks, in the middle of the desert, at the top of mountains, and in long stretches of barren land. God shows up in starry skies and burning bushes, in whirlwinds and perfect strangers. And then you know what? When people wanted to know God, Jesus, the Son of God, said what? Consider the lilies. They toil not, neither do they spin. Consider the birds of the air. That's wonderful news. God can come to you and me by pools of clear blue water, or right here in this sanctuary. The house of God stretches from one corner of this planet to the other. And the psalm says, all the peoples of the earth are called to praise God's mighty acts. What a relief. The beauty of understanding that God's house is everywhere gets me off the hook, because it tells me I'm not in charge of the house. I'm only a guest, and I'm only charged with serving other guests. In addition to praising God, this psalm reminds Israel they are a blessing to be a blessing. Abraham heard God's quote. Abraham heard God, you are to be a blessing to all nations. So the refrain in 3 and 5 makes the same point. Somebody bring me my water right there. Sorry. Thank God for water. In verses 3 and 5, there's the same point. There's a wideness in God's mercy that goes beyond God's people, Israel. The psalm says, let all the people praise you. My favorite preacher is Barbara Brown Taylor, and she writes these words. Human beings may separate things into many piles as we wish. We can separate spirit from flesh, sacred from secular, church from the world. But we should not be surprised when God does not recognize the distinctions we make. And then she says this, it's so beautiful. Earth is so thick with the divine possibility that it is a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on the altars. I am so sorry. So God decided to visit Jacob right where he was. It wasn't Jacob's doing. It was God's doing. This is my father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the beauty of the spheres. This is my father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seem oft so strong, what's the last line? God is the ruler yet. There is a state park in Manhattan. Can you imagine that? A state park in Manhattan, Riverbank State Park, aptly named because it sprawls along the banks of the Hudson River at the edge of Harlem. And just think about New York City. You imagine tall skyscrapers. Think of a river wandering through the edge of Harlem. But the park isn't exactly on the banks of the river. Rather, it's above the river, but not on a hill. The new park is really not on the ground. The park, complete with trees, an ice rink, a running track, concession stands, fields of grass, walkways, is not on the ground. It's on a sewage treatment plant. One of the largest public works projects in this country, the expansive gray building with a park on top, treats wastewater on its way to the Hudson River. So think, in the winter, while children are ice skating, the river flows. In the summer, while kids bike and trike, and the water flows. Under the slam dunks, under the park bench where lovers kiss, under the playground laughter, the water flows and the Hudson River begins to come back to life. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And soon there'll be many fish reaching into the river. It will become fresh and everything will live where the river goes. There is a theologian named Joseph Settler. He lived in the 20th century, and he used the word ecology before anyone else used that word. He connected ecology to faith, and this is what he wanted us to see. He said, I do not want you just to see the world, but to behold the world. With our minds, we look at things, but with the spirit, we behold. To behold a thing, whether it's a rose, an elephant, or a newborn baby, is to regard it in its particularity, its preciousness, its beauty. So the psalmist sings for us, be gracious to us, O God, let all the people praise you. So, you have about 10 hours left in this day before you put your heads on a pillow. Where will you see God today? As you leave this place, there are three gardenia bushes right out here. It's covered in blooms, and the fragrance is God. Will you find time to walk with your Creator today? Let the heavens ring. Let the earth resound. The Lord is King of the earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And go from this place, and may the peace and love and grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget, little ones, okay? Never forget that there is nothing you can do that makes God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes we've made. He simply says, wow, wow, wow. Was our little gifted one there? You're the best of the best of the best. And what would it be like if you remembered that every morning? There's a lot of love in this room. Take it out and give it away today. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.